Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Amen. Good to be back here tonight. Good to hear the testimonies of these young ladies here this morning, or this evening. And I was sitting there thinking as you was giving your testimonies and singing, and I don't know how you look at people when you come into a church, but I just want to share my testimony real quick. My dad left when I was 8 years old. My mom left when I was 16. I lived on the streets of Falls Story, Ohio. And I got into a lot of trouble, as you can imagine. But I had a lady, she was the mother of one of my friends, that had me in every Thursday night, and she would feed me. When you're living on the streets and you're homeless, eating a half a slice of bread and a half a slice of bologna every day, a full course meal looks pretty good. She had me in every Thursday night, and she fed me, and she shared the gospel with me for 2.5 years. What this home is doing is they're loving you just like Mary Lundy loved me. Amen. Be encouraged. Amen. I'm not here because I lived a righteous life. I'm here because I serve a risen Savior. Amen. And it's His righteousness that we're looking for tonight, not my righteousness. It's not what I have done, but what He has done. Amen. But I wanted to encourage you tonight. There is hope. Amen. God can change our lives from what we are handed in our life. God can change us and use us. Amen. Appreciate you all being here tonight. I'm glad I didn't run too many people off. Amen. I'm not the best preacher in the world, and I'm thankful and I'm honored that you come back to hear the Word of God preached again. And I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter 8. Last night we looked at what a debtor we are to Christ. You say, well, Christ paid my debt. He paid a debt I could not pay. Amen. He didn't owe a debt, but He paid a debt that He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Christ paid that, but that makes me 10 times more the debtor, does it not? Amen. I'm a debtor now, not to His justice, but I'm a debtor to His grace, to live for Him and to serve Him and to be a witness for Him. We are indebted to Christ. But I want to take you to look to Luke chapter 8 tonight and begin in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground. There ought to have been an amen there. And other fell upon good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You may notice that when I pray, that oftentimes I pray not only for the power to preach, but also for the power to hear. Amen. As I stand in this pulpit to proclaim the Word of God, as God has called me to do and prepared me to do, listen, He doesn't call the qualified. I thank God He qualifies the called. Amen. But listen, I could stand up here with all the power of God, but if your heart's not here to hear tonight, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. Amen. Father, we come before You tonight and we're asking You, dear God, once again for Your power to preach, Lord, according to Your will and according to Your word. Lord, I thank You for the message that You've put upon my heart for tonight. And I ask You, dear Heavenly Father, that Your Son would be glorified, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be risen up and held up, Father. God, that souls would be encouraged. Lord, that those lost here tonight would see Christ and understand that He died for them, that He desires, Father, to have a relationship with them, as the ladies quoted. I ask You, dear Father God, also, Lord, that You'd open our hearts to hear. Oh God, we need You this morning. We need You tonight. We need You every day and every part of our life. I ask You, Lord God, You've been a blessing, Father, in the service so far tonight, in the singing, in the sharing of the gospel through verses and song and quotes. Oh God, I ask You, Father, now to minister to our hearts through Your written word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sower and the seed. Amen. This message has several titles to it. When I first preached this message, the title was Four Farmers. Four Farmers. And then I came up with a little bit catchier phrase, What Kind of Dirt Are You? And then I came up with a little bit more catchier, What Kind of Dirt Does the Devil Have on You? Amen. But as I laid here today and praying and seeking the Lord and looking for guidance, as I said earlier last night, I had a whole other series lined up to preach, and God just shut that door. And I'm trying to mind the heart of God and the mind of God. And as we look at this parable tonight, we want to look at the sower and the seed. Amen. Now we know that the seed is what? The Word of God. Amen. That's not just any book. That's the King James Bible. Amen. Listen, I've gotten into many debates. I've seen a lot of people get ugly about this thing. But listen, if you believe that any Bible's okay, why are you upset that I like the King James? Amen. That's one good point. But let me give you another good point, Brother Steve. In John chapter 1, it says, In the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now I ask you this simple question. If the Word became flesh, who is that? Jesus. Amen. How many Jesuses do you believe in? If there's dozens of different words and translations, there's dozens of different Jesuses. Which one do you believe in? Amen. I believe it's over in either Galatians or Colossians. I haven't looked at it recently. But he says over there, how soon have you believed another gospel? You see, there is more than one gospel. And the devil wants you to believe any gospel but the gospel. Amen. He wants you to believe any word of God but the word of God. Amen. So as we settle that tonight and we look at it, this is the seed. Disciples come to Jesus after he teaches this short little parable. The disciples come to Jesus and they said, Huh? We don't get it. We don't get it. Verse 9, his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? They said, We don't understand, God. And there might be someone here tonight that doesn't understand the fullness of this parable. I've heard this parable teached. I was raised up in church, amen, until I was about 14, 15 years old and got away from God and got away from church and all that. But I've heard this, I heard it all through my life being taught, but almost every sermon I ever heard taught on this passage only dealt with the good ground. Anybody can plant on the good ground. Amen. Anybody can plant in good ground. Amen. I'm not much of a gardener. I'm a decent gardener. But I ain't much of a gardener. I don't have a green thumb, like they say. Amen. But we'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to look at this. Anybody can plant on good ground. But he says, Jesus says, now the parable is this, starting in verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Amen. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The wayside is hard ground. Amen. The first farmer that I want to talk to you about tonight is my grandfather. His name was Frank, by the way. I thought you'd like that. Frank Brinkman was his name. Grandpa was a different kind of farmer than you hear of today. Amen. Grandpa didn't look in the almanac and see what the reports were. Grandpa didn't look at the at the elevator news and see what was going to be the best pay and crop, Grandpa went out into his field and he picked up a clod of dirt, brother, and he'd break it up in his hands and he'd chew on it. I always get at least one. But I'm serious, he did. He'd put that dirt in his mouth and he would chew on it. And I said, Grandpa, what are you doing? Because Grandpa had this saying, a peck of dirt don't hurt. You know, if food falls in the dirt, pick it up. You're allowed to eat a peck of dirt. That's a half a bushel. You're allowed to eat a peck of dirt a year. It won't hurt you a bit. I'm sorry if that ruins your rules at the home. But that's what Grandpa said, amen? A peck of dirt don't hurt. And I thought, Grandpa, you're getting a whole lot of peck right there, amen? And he says, no. He says, son, he says, I put it in there, and by tasting the dirt, I can tell what's in it and what it's lacking. Amen? Grandpa would taste that dirt, and he could taste what was in it, and he could taste what was lacking, and he knew. See, every crop you put into the ground produces things into the ground, and it takes things, nutrients, out of the ground. Every crop does. They put some in, and they take some out. And depending on what he tasted in there, he knew what to plant. He knew what the ground needed. Grandpa planted not on the best crop, what was promised, not on the best price, but on what the soil needed. Amen? But Grandpa had hundreds of acres. And he had trails that wandered around his farm through that hundreds of acres where the tractors and all the implements and all those tools drove time after time all through the year, and that became hard ground. Amen? Jesus said here, this hard ground, those by the wayside are they that hear, they've heard the word of God, amen? In other words, the seed's been sown there. Are you with me? They heard the word of God, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and save. And Grandpa saw that when he sowed the seed and it fell on that hard ground, that the birds of the air would come and they'd take it up and rip it out. You know what? We have people in the world today, a lot of the military that we work with are very hard-hearted people. And we'll go in and share the gospel with them, and before we even get our foot out the door, the devil's already stealing that word away from them because their heart is so hard. Amen? We have people in our society, we have people in this area, a preacher, that are hard. They've been hardened by the things of life. They've been hardened by all the troubles and trials they've been through in their life. And they've allowed their heart to become hardened to the things of God, to the Word of God. And they won't let the Word of God in. It's not that they don't want it, but their heart is so hard it can't penetrate. Grandpa had a solution for that. Every year, at the end of the year, he plowed up that hard ground and moved the trail someplace else. Can I tell you this? You'll never get the seed to take in hard ground until you plow it up. Amen? Plowing takes work. You see, I told you that story about Mary Lundy because that's what she did to me. She saw me as a hard case, a hard teenager. And she dropped that five-bottom plow in the middle of my heart and began to break up that hard ground so that seed would take. Amen? And she worked on me, and she worked on me, and she worked on me. And that's what we got to do to the hard ground. Many of the soldiers that we deal with are taking 6, 7, 8 years before we start to see God really making a change in their life. Is it because God can't do it? No, God can do it. But like I said last night, God's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. Amen? You turn God away, you turn His Word away, He's not going to force Himself on you. Amen? The hard ground. But I want you to notice that the seed fell on the hard ground. Amen? Let's move on, verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the Word with joy, but have no root. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. This is stony ground, amen. Like I said, I'm no great farmer, but I grew up in northern Michigan, and northern Michigan has one successful crop every year, stones. I'm not talking about stones, I'm talking about stones. Amen? The second farmer I want to tell you about, his name is Johnny. I never met Johnny, but I met his widow. When I moved up to northern Michigan, after I graduated from high school, I moved up by my dad. I bought a house 2 miles from my dad. And right in the middle of us, right between us, was a widow lady that we took care of. And Johnny was her husband. And we would go over there and help her with whatever she needed. I believe the Bible teaches that, amen. Take care of the widows, amen. She needed some work done around her house. My dad and I would go over there and work around the house. But I got to the point where I was going over there and playing dominoes with her. Or bones, as we call them in the military, amen. And let me tell you something, preacher. When it comes to playing bones, she was wicked. I mean, son, she was good. And she taught me how to play bones. I remember being over in Germany and a bunch of guys asked me if I wanted to play dominoes. And I said, sure, I'll play if you teach me how. Yes, I did. I whooped their tails bad. it's just beginner's luck, amen. But she told me, as I'd sit there and play the game with her and fellowship with her and go to work, she told me about her husband. They had an 80-acre farm. And in northern Michigan, it's not uncommon to see houses built out of stone. Field stone houses is what they're called. Amen? It's not uncommon. They're all over the place. The best crop Johnny ever raised was stones. Every year, that ground that he bought that 80 acres, and he had to clear all the trees off of it, and he got the trees cleared off. Then he had to go through, and he had to pick up the stones. And Brother Frank, he had piles of stones as big as this auditorium all over that property. Not just one, not just two, but dozen piles that size. He had so many stones, he built his barn out of stones. He built his house out of stones. Anything else, he built his little well that he had out in the backyard, he built stones around it, amen? He used those stones every which way he could. And every spring when he went back out there in his field, guess what he got? More stones. You see, the stony ground allows the root to go down. The seed gets planted. It takes root in the soil that's there. But the root only goes down until it hits that stone. It never gets to the water. The water is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? The stony ground, those that take root on the stony ground are those that are religious. You got in, you heard the Word of God, you got into church, you've been faithful in church, you've been faithful, but you never got a hold of the Holy Spirit of God. You never let the Holy Spirit of God get in your life. Why? Because there's an obstacle in the way. There's a stone in the way preventing you from doing that. And those stones have to be removed every year. If you're going to win someone to the Lord at stony ground, you're going to have to work with them year. You're going to make progress each year, and then you're going to have to go back to next year and make more progress to get that stone out of the ground. Amen? That root goes down, hits that stone, never gets to the water. And all of a sudden, trial comes along. It may be something in your family. Maybe a loss of a job. It may be a sickness or an illness. But all of a sudden, something comes along. And the Bible says they wither away because they have no root. Amen? No water. No Holy Ghost. That's the majority of people in our churches today. Amen? They're here for the dinner. They're here for the singing. They're here for the good services. They're here on Sunday morning. But when things get tough, they're not here. When the trials come, they stop coming to church. They stop coming to the house of God. We got to help them get that stone out of the way, brother. We got to help them break up that hard ground and get that stone out of there and pull that stone up. Amen. That stone could be used somewhere else down in their life. Hey, you know what? I realized this years later. Years later. Amen. I went through a hard life growing up, and I ain't got time to give it all. I shared a little bit of it just a minute ago. But you know what I ended up doing when God called me into the ministry? What I first ended up doing? Being a youth pastor. All that experience I went through in my youth, as I stood in front of those teenagers in my class, my wife at my side, as I stood in front of them teenagers, I could look them in the eye and say, I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I guarantee I'll understand. I had compassion. That stone could be used further on down the road to glorify God. Amen. But stony ground. And I want you again to notice tonight that even though the ground was stony, the seed still fell there. Amen. The seed still fell there. Let's move on tonight. Verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. I believe verse 14, the Bible says that when they heard the word, they went forth. I believe they got saved. Amen. I believe these are saved folks. But they're choked by the cares of this life. The third farmer I want to talk to you about tonight is really not a farmer. He was a horticulturalist. He was the kind of guy that ran a business up until he was called to pastor a church. He ran a business putting shrubbery and lawn and decorating your yard and making it all look pretty. Amen. This is a man with a 10th grade education, the wisest man I ever met in my life. His name was H.L. Petty. He was my pastor for 5 years. One day he came in my office, brother, and he said, Brother Kidman, would you meet me outside of my office right up here on the front of the building? And I said, yes, sir, I'll be out there in just a minute. And I walked out there, and Brother Petty stood there, and he says, look at this tree. And it was a little bitty pine tree, an evergreen tree. At least it was supposed to be. How many of you ever seen Charlie Brown Christmas? Amen. Help me out here. Y'all seen Charlie Brown? You see that nasty little tree he ends up with? Looked 1,000 times better than this thing did. Amen. This thing looked so pitiful, I kid you not, I was afraid to strike a match because I was afraid it'd just blow up and burst in flames. It was so pitiful. Had just a couple little green spots on it of evergreen. I mean like that big. And the whole rest of it was dead. Pastor Petty looked at that and he says, what do you think we ought to do, Brother Kidman? I said, Pastor, I said, I'll go change my clothes and I'll go down to the nursery and get another one about that size and I'll dig that thing up and I'll put the new one in and water it. I says, then it'll look just like new before I get done. He said, I don't want you to do that. That's what he said, Brother Keith. He said, I don't want you to do that. I said, what do you want me to do? I said, it's dead. He said, you see that little vine sticking around there? He said, that vine is choking it to death. He said, I want you to eradicate that vine. And he gave me a list of about 6-7 other things that he wanted me to do. He wanted me to water it 3 times a day and some fertilizer stick he wanted me to put in there, some other fertilizer he wanted to put around there in the morning, another fertilizer he wanted me to put around there in the evening, and just care for that tree. I want to stand here tonight and tell you that about 6 weeks later, that thing looked brand new. Amen? But it wasn't, and it took me those 6 weeks to eradicate that vine. It was around every shrub on the property. Now listen, the cares of this world will choke on everybody, but it's only the spiritual weak that it'll choke out. Amen? It's the little ones, it's the young. That doesn't mean young in age. That means young in spirit. That'll choke out. That vine was around every evergreen on our property. 6 weeks later, that tree looked like a brand new shrub. It wasn't until years later that I realized that Pastor Petty wasn't teaching me about horticulture. He was teaching me about people. Amen. You know what we do? We see somebody that's ruined their life. They've been saved. They've made a profession of faith, and they've allowed the cares of this world to choke them out. Whether that's a job, whether that's family, whether that's illness, whatever it is, they've allowed that to choke them out. They've got out of church. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They're not fellowshipping with other Christians, and they're being choked to death by the cares of this world. And we look at them and we say, shame on you. You ought to know better. And we treat them rudely. We might as well just chop them out of the ground and go get another one and put in their place. That's the way we treat them. That's the way we treat them. But God wants us to love them back to health. Amen. Can I draw your attention for the third time that the seed fell on the thorny ground? Amen. And lastly tonight, as we look at the good ground, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See the difference between the thorny ground? Do you know why the thorns grow on the thorny ground? Because it's good soil. It's just not kept. The difference between the thorny ground and the good ground isn't the soil. It's the keeping of the soil. Amen? It's how well we keep ourselves to the Word of God. The good ground is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The difference is when the seed falls on the good ground, it grows up and it produces fruit. Amen. Anybody can plant on good ground. Anybody. The last farmer is me. When I got out of the military, we moved back to Michigan. We bought us a little house and had a 20 by 30 pole barn. And off to the side of that pole barn was some soil. I was told that the previous owner, who had earth-moving equipment, had dug that thing down 4 feet deep, hauled all that old junky clay soil out of there, and put in nothing but topsoil 4 feet deep. We cleaned that area all up, and my wife and I went out there and we planted some seeds. When you plant seeds, how many do you plant? You just plant one. If you want tomatoes, you just plant one tomato seed. If you just want cucumbers, do you plant just one? No, you don't. Why? Because not every seed might germinate. Amen? When you plant a seed, you got to plant the seed in multiples. Amen? I made a mistake one time. I wanted some zucchini. I put 6 seeds in every hill. And I put 24 hills in the garden. By the middle of August, I had my pickup truck sitting out at the end of the road with the zucchini stacked up on the back of the pickup truck with a sign, "Free!" Glory to God. Amen. I took my rotator out of the shed. It's one of them old-fashioned ones. It rotates on the front, you know, so you get the... And it's bouncing on that hard ground. And I get over there to that... It stalled. It buried all the forks. You couldn't see the forks. You couldn't even hardly see the front fender. Barely see the bottom of the engine. And it stalled out. I had to dig that thing back out. I had to work it. I had to hold it. As I rototilled through that ground, I had to hold it up to make sure it didn't just dig down and bury again. That ground was so fertile. And we planted seed in there. We planted corn. We planted zucchini. We planted some other squash. We planted some Hillbilly apples. How many know what a hillbilly apple is? What's that? Oh, no, ma'am. Hillbilly apples, a nice, big, sweet onion. Pick them, eat them just like an apple. Oh, that's good stuff. That and a little bit of garlic. Yeah. I don't have a garden these days. I got a wife. You eat like that, you don't get a wife. But we planted a whole bunch of stuff, and a couple days later, this little green thing started popping up out of that ground. And it wasn't too long after that that the little vines for the beans started wrapping around the poles that we had and the lines that we had, strings, and the corn started shooting up, and it was knee-high by the 4th of July. That means it's going to be a good crop. And come fall, we had squash, and we had beans. What did it do? That good ground brought forth fruit. Amen? And God's trying to get to the good ground. But I want you for the fourth time tonight that the seed was sown on the good ground. What are you trying to say, Brother Kidman? I want you to understand that God wants us to sow on all four soils, not just the good ground. Amen? Not just the good ground. We looked at last night on what a debt we owe to the Lord for what He has done for us. What a debt we owe to His grace and His mercy and His salvation and His power, His saving power. Amen. What a debt we owe to Him. But tonight, the word that comes to me, the thought that comes to me is, He that soweth sparingly reapeth sparingly. Amen. When we give to missions, the missionaries got a job to do, but they can only do what they can afford to do. Amen? The church has a job to do, but it can only do what it can afford to do. And if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, amen, we'll bring forth a great reward. Amen? That garden, I'll tell you what, we canned and we cooked and we froze and we had us a feast all winter long off that little bitty garden. And that little bitty garden was about from here to the back pew on this side, and that's all the bigger it was. I didn't plant any zucchini. Well, I think I said I did. I might have planted one or two hills of zucchini, but that was it. But I planted, I think, 10 or 12 hills of acorn squash. You know, if you plant your acorn squash in the corn needs what the acorn puts off, and the acorn needs what the corn puts off. And it makes your corn grow bigger, and it makes your acorns grow bigger. That's just a little thing I learned. Hey, man! Plant a stalk of corn, plant an acorn. Plant a stalk of corn, plant an acorn. Amen. They grow good in that good soil. But in order to get to the good soil, what do you got to do? You got to weed out the weeds that are choking the soil, choking everything in the soil. Amen? And the reason the weeds could grow in the soil is because you got to get the stones out. See, in order to get the good soil, you got to have the thorny soil. In order to get the thorny soil, you've got to have the stony soil. In order to get the stony soil, you've got to have the hard ground. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight is the seed was sown on all four soils, and we need to plant on all four types. We need to work at hard ground so that the seed will take the next time it's sown there, amen? We need to work the stony ground to remove those stones so that the seed will take the next time it's grown there. We need to work on the weedy ground so we can pull those weeds out so that seed can continue to grow, amen? Because anybody can plant on good ground. Anybody. Jesus is trying to tell His disciples here, there's going to be some hard cases you're going to deal with, but you still need to sow there. There's going to be some stony cases that you're going to have to go back and work over and over and over and over and over again. Then there's going to be some that get choked out with the cares of this world. They got hurt at church. They got hurt by somebody in the ministry. They don't want anything to do with God anymore. You got to work through those weeds that are choking them to death. You got to get them into that good soil so that they can bring forth fruit. Jesus wants us to bring forth fruit. Amen? Jesus wants us to bring forth. He wants you to bring forth fruit. So I ask you tonight in closing, what type of soil are you? What type of soil are you? Are you hard ground? You came here tonight because mom or dad said so, or somebody else said so, and you've tried to think of everything else you could instead of listening to the Word of God and not let the seed and the Word of God hit your heart? Are you stony ground? You've heard the Word of God tonight and you're kind of a little bit excited about it, but as soon as a temptation or as soon as something comes in your life, a trial or tribulation, every time you've heard the Word of God, you got excited about it, but as soon as some temptation comes in your life, you're out the door and never seen again. Or maybe you're the one that's the weedy ground and you're being choked. You've trusted Christ as your Savior, but you're being choked by the cares of this world. Amen? Listen, the weedy ground can't clean itself. We got to clean it. We got to help them. Stony ground can't clean itself. We got to help them. We got to pull the stones. The hard ground can't break up itself. We got to help them. We got to break up the hard ground. Which soil are you? Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'll come play a little something on the piano softly, I want to ask you tonight, which soil are you? Did the Word of God fall on hard ground tonight? Did the Word of God fall on stony ground tonight? God's dealing with your heart right here tonight as you stand. As the music's being played, God's dealing on your heart. It's time to step forward and say, God, help me with this.